Hi, this is Maureen Milliken.
And this is Rebecca Mulligan, and this is GroovyTube.
And this is our episode 30 in Brady Bunch season 5.
And it's episode 19 called
Although
Top Secret.
it was, we have three episodes to go after this, and this was actually the second filmed, like the second to the last.
Oh,
Like the
okay.
two that are coming after this were actually filmed before. I don't know why they do that.
Yeah, it's called Top Secret. And the first scene is interesting because a lot of times after the theme song, they'll show a long shot of the house, but this one does not. The first scene starts in a close up in the living room, front of the fireplace. Bobby is building a house of cards while Oliver just looks on as Bobby's doing. Apparently, Oliver can't do anything but watch things. As Bobby puts the last card on, they smile in satisfaction to each other. Then the house of cards
And I
collapses.
saw that coming.
Yeah.
I saw
Just
it
then the
coming.
doorbell rings and Carol runs through the room and says, "I'll get it." And at the door is Agent Fred Sanders of the FBI, and he's looking for
Yes.
Mike.
And at
The
first I thought, oh, he's very handsome. And then, because my eyes were all blurry from looking at my computer, and then I realized a few seconds later he wasn't
It's
handsome
not
like I
that
thought.
bad looking.
No, he
I
wasn't
don't know.
bad.
Carol's like, "The FBI." And of course, that makes Bobby and Oliver take notice.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And Carol ushers Agent Sanders in and introduces him to Bobby and Oliver, which is, I guess, polite, but nowadays no one would do that. Maybe just
I would.
kids.
If
Okay,
somebody's in the
maybe.
room and somebody comes in, you introduce them.
Yeah, whatever. Bobby wants to know if he's really an agent, and Oliver wants to know who's in trouble. Agent Sanders says he is an agent and no one is in trouble. Carol brings him into Mike's den, and Bobby wonders what Mike is doing talking to the FBI. And Oliver says it's got to be something really big. And I realized today that Oliver, and I used to think this when I was little, he looks like a mini John Denver.
I've always thought that, and weren't they in some production together?
I don't know.
And I think that's might be why I always had some kind
I
of
always just
antipathy
thought
to
John Denver
Oliver.
was popular back then, and then
They had the
I
same
don't
haircut, the same glasses,
know.
so yeah.
In the den, Agent Sanders says he just needs to clear up some stuff on Mike's application for a security clearance. Security clearance! Carol's like, "Oh,
And first of
Mike, what the
all, in
fuck?"
a normal marriage, wouldn't you say, hey, honey, guess what? I have to get security clearance from the FBI.
I
Like,
know.
this shouldn't be a surprise to her.
Mike says, "Relax, honey."
Very
And
dismissive.
he tells her he just needs a security clearance for a government building he's working on. And the agent just says, "It's routine,
And it's
Mrs.
like, don't
Brady."
worry your pretty little head about
And
it.
Carol's like, she's like, "Oh, shucks, I was hoping Mike was an international
And
spy."
can I make 2 points here? Two
Yes.
points. First of all, the major flaw of this entire episode, the FBI doesn't spy on people. If it was an international spy, it would be the CIA.
Yes.
And the FBI isn't spies. They're just fucking cops. They're
Although
not spies.
they probably do spy on
Well, they
people.
do like bug people and stuff, but it's not like spying like this whole
I know.
episode's about. It's not the when you think of the FBI, you don't think spy. You
I
think
think of our Uncle
busting
Lloyd. He
people.
worked for them.
I thought he worked for the CIA.
No, he worked for the FBI. He called them the agency.
He was a very nice man.
Yeah. But our cousin Charlie worked for the CIA.
Oh, that's right.
They all laugh.
And also I want to say that was the second thing. The way Mike and the guy laugh, it's almost like the way they'd laugh if they really were spies.
I know.
But
I
you
know
know
they're
what I mean?
both like, and Mike and Carol walked Agent Sanders to the door, and Mike says, "Glad to be of service," which is like weird. After the agent leaves, Carol says the letters FBI make her nervous. And Mike says, "It's your guilty conscience." And he wants her to tell him about her sordid past, and Carol just laughs, which is kind of funny. Bobby and Oliver come running down the stairs. They want to know if Mike is working for the FBI. And Mike says, "Don't let your imagination run away with you. It was just routine." And Mike says, "No spies, just a security clearance." And the boys say, "Wow." And
Yeah.
Mike says, "No wow about it." He's getting kind of
He's
annoyed.
very dismissive of their
Yes.
excitement.
Too dismissive because he should realize that being that way is just. I just remember it was something I just remember like certain conversations when we were kids. Like I remember Nikki talking to Dad about something and him not understanding that she was misunderstanding him. I was probably like 8. and she was asking him something. It was a stupid conversation. I don't know why this sticks in my head. There were like Jersey barriers on the side of the highway. And she's like, why are those there? And he said, well, in case someone whizzes off the road and they, and so they don't crash. And she thought he meant pee. Yes. Because he used to say whiz. And he did not get that she thought that. And she said, why would they be whizzing off the road? And he's like,
and this has to do with this episode of the Brady Bunch. Why?
Has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Has nothing to do with it. We can cut that out. It was just, right. I remember just thinking, why doesn't he understand that she is not getting it? And like, Mike is not understanding that they're not understanding.
Well, what
him.
I'm.
He's making it more intriguing for them.
Right. He is making it more intriguing. But what's making it more intriguing is not that he's misunderstanding the way Dad was about the whizzing. It's just that he's condescending and dismissive and isn't going to bother. I mean, even if he can't say what it is, because he can explain it in a way that doesn't make it more intriguing.
Yes.
But because there's an incident later, I'll bring it up. I have more to say about
that.
Well,
he says it's nothing. Forget about it. And he almost seems like pissed off.
Right.
And Carol leave. Oliver tells Bobby Mike wants them to forget it because it's a secret FBI thing. They're whispering about it. And Bobby says they have to play it cool. And I'm sorry, but I can see Oliver being like all... But Bobby's a little old to do this, but whatever. Peter and Greg came down the stairs with a basketball. Greg asks if they want to play, and Oliver says, no, they have something more important to do.
Mm-hmm.
Peter says, like, what? And Bobby says, nothing. And Greg says, if it's nothing, how can it be important? And he and Peter laugh. Bobby says to Oliver, let's go. But Peter's like, no, we want to know what's so important, which is kind of weird that he's pushing it because
right. Who cares?
And Oliver says it's a secret.
And I'm like, oh, I get it now. Oliver's the new Cindy.
Yeah.
It's a secret.
It's a secret. And Bobby says, I told you to play it cool. And Oliver says, what? I didn't tell him that an FBI agent was here. And Greg's like, what? And Peter says, spill it. And Oliver says, you have to keep it secret. Which, why? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Mike and Carol are pretending it's nothing. And Bobby says, Mike might be working for the FBI. And Greg and Peter laugh, and Greg tells them they're nuts. And he and Peter dribble the ball and off and leave.
Mm-hmm.
In the kitchen, Alice pulls a casserole out of the oven. Marcia and Carol are there, and they say, it smells delicious. They're like, what is it? And Alice says, it's Monday's corned beef, Tuesday's rice, Wednesday's mushrooms, and Thursday's tomato. And it's called Friday's Mess. Ha, ha, ha.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they're a big family, so they have to, you know, eat leftovers.
Yes.
Although.
I'm surprised there are leftovers.
Yeah. Sam comes in without knocking, just like walks in.
I noticed that. Yeah.
He's holding a rolled up bunch of papers. And Carol's like, what the fuck are you doing here? Did we order meat? It's like, excuse me, I didn't order any meat. What the fuck are you in my house? And Sam says he's there on a personal visit. And Alice is like, hell yeah. Alice is all, yeah. And Sam says he's there to see Mr. Brady. And I'm like, okay, why does Sam call him Mr.? You're not on equal terms. You're both adults.
Exactly. And I noticed later, too, with Sam's landlord, they're Mr. whatever. They call him by their first name. See, my rule always is, if somebody's going to call me by my first name, I'm calling them by their first
name.
Especially,
you're both adults.
I know, they're adult men. It's like Sam is not allowed to call any adult men by their first name.
No shit. Alice is disappointed. Sam is there to ask Mike for a favor, but he'd rather not tell them what it is. Alice says, can we have a hint? And Sam says to Alice, when the proper time comes, you'll be the first to know. And Carol says, Mike is in his den, and Sam leaves. The three women, Marcia is there to speculate. And of course, they jump to the conclusion that Sam is building a house for Alice.
So what a ridiculous conclusion to jump. And it just shows again how withholding information leaves people to fill in the gaps. Men love to withhold information.
Yes, they do.
It's their big thing.
It's a power.
And also, because they're so self-absorbed, they don't realize that the people around them actually have lives that are living their lives and thinking and stuff and reacting. And when the man isn't there, like, they're not just in some pod. So this withholding information is going to have an effect.
Yeah,
because
it does.
Vacuum needs to be filled.
Sam approaches the den. Bobby and Oliver are sitting at the bottom of the stairs, and Sam says he hasn't seen them at the butcher shop lately. Bobby says they've been busy, and Oliver says they're about to get busier. And Sam says it sounds like they're working on a big project, and Sam says he too is working on a big project. So I guess Sam is like on the level of the kids, you know?
Yes.
And that's why he's there to see Mike. The boys want to know what it is, and Sam says he's sorry, it's top secret, and he gets up and goes into the den. In the kitchen, Alice is saying she doesn't believe Sam was building a house. She's jumped to that conclusion before and ended up falling flat onto her hope chest. Now, Alice, Anne B. Davis is about late 40s at this time, maybe early 50s.
Right.
So, you know, whatever. I think she should either.
Well, I think it's supposed to be humorous to us viewers that a woman that age, in such a lowly position and obviously so plain and unappealing, would harbor these romantic hopes of marriage and men loving her.
Yes. Carol and Marcia keep saying it could be true. And Alice says she won't think about it. She's been wrong before, but in the end, she starts thinking about it. Back in the living room, Oliver thinks Sam is also an agent, but Bobby's skeptical. And Mike's den, Sam says he might expand his shop, but he wants an idea of the cost and some rough plans by Friday. Mike says it's soon, but he can get him some preliminary information.
Why is he expanding a shop that never has any customers?
Sam asks Mike to keep it a secret. He wants to surprise Alice. Like, Alice gives a shit.
Well, the thing is, too, it's what I thought was funny about that is, so, first of all, obviously, Sam wants to impress Alice. Right? But he's so self-absorbed that he thinks this is going to be something that Alice is going to get excited about. But also, if it was a true partnership, he'd be saying to Alice, gee, I'm thinking of expanding my shop. Yeah, what do you think? You know, do you think I should do that since I never have any customers? Blah, blah, blah.
He wants Alice to think he's a big meat mogul.
Yeah.
That was his
words. Yeah, big meat.
Mike says, sure, I'll keep it secret because I really couldn't care less. Sam has some sketches that he wants to show him about what he thinks he wants to do. Now we're in the girls' room. Jan is looking in the mirror with Cindy behind her. They're always those girls. That's what they do.
That's what women do.
Jan says, how can she look older? And Cindy tells her to keep worry a lot about looking older. That'll make her look older. Marcia comes in. She has a secret. Cindy says she loves secrets. And Marcia says, you love telling them. And Cindy says, you can trust me. And Marcia's like, I don't know if I can trust you, Cindy. And Jan's like, come on. So Marcia relents and she says, you can't tell anyone. So no one's ever telling anyone anything.
I know.
Marcia says, Sam is going to propose. And they're like, well, who told you? And she's like, no one.
Didn't they learn anything from just two episodes ago when they assumed Carol was pregnant?
They never learn. And you know that their minds are blank slate after each episode. But the other two accept her less than reliable information, and so all three of them are all giddy. I don't know why. Every time they think Alice is gonna get married,
because women just naturally
we love weddings.
Excited about weddings. It just
I like other people's weddings.
I don't.
Well, if it's free meal and drinks,
I don't like dressing up. I've never once in my life felt comfortable being dressed up. I have literally never felt comfortable being dressed up.
Now we're in the backyard. Alice is hanging out laundry while Bobby and Oliver spy on her. Bobby tells Oliver he could be right. And Oliver says, of course, it all adds up. Bobby says, Alice is the person who knows about Sam and they should talk to her. And Oliver says, yeah, let's grill her. Bobby says, no, they have to be smooth so she doesn't suspect. And Oliver's really impressed. Bobby says he's watched a lot of Mission Impossible. For anyone younger than us, he's referring to the TV show that starred Peter Graves and Barbara Bain. Remember?
And
Barbara
the black Bain? Guy.
Oh, what was his name?
I like to,
but not the stupid Tom Cruise movies, which I've never seen.
No, and that would never would. Yeah.
They approach Alice. They ask her how she met Sam. And she says at a dance when he was still in the army. And they ask her if Sam was in army intelligence. And she says she doesn't know. He never talks about his time in the army. And they want to know what else she knows about him. And she says he's 6 feet and 200 pounds of unbudgeable bachelor. And everything else is just trivia. And she walks away and the boys are disappointed. Now, I was thinking this is 1974. So that means she and Sam, I looked up
30
their
years.
Age, yeah. 30 years. Years they've been dating.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't have anything else. I mean, like, I've been with somebody kind of for over 20 years. We're not married.
No, but it's not like you're pining away to
no,
for
I
him
am
to
definitely right, yeah. Butcher shop. Sam is wrapping some meat. Bobby and Oliver come in. Bobby asks if Sam has an order for them. And Sam says no. And he's kind of rolling his eyes while he's talking to him. The boys tell him Alice said he was in the army and they bet he was a hero. Sam says he did his share. And actually, Alan Melvin, who plays Sam, I looked him up. He served in World War II. So that's interesting.
Speaking
he was
of,
born in 1923. So.
And speaking of Alan Melvin, this was his last episode of the Brady Bunch.
Sam tells some story about how he stole the enemy playbook by sneaking into their camp, overpowering three guards, then donning the uniform of one of the overpowered guards and walking out. The boys are impressed. They ask if Sam got a medal, but he says, no, because the mission was top secret. Just then, Sam's landlord, Mr. Grosky, comes in. Sam excuses himself and he says it's important business.
Mr. Grosky looks like he's from a Middle Eastern country, so he's obviously a spy for the other side, yeah. even before the boys came up with it, I thought that.
Mr. Grosky says, "You got the plans from Brady yet?" And then he starts bitching when Sam says the plans won't be ready till Friday. Sam shushes him and pulls him aside, telling Mr. Grosky he doesn't want the boys to hear since they'll tell Alice. Like, Mr. Grosky gives a shit.
Yeah.
And this makes, of course, this makes Bobby and Oliver more intrigued. Bobby and Oliver come to the conclusion that Mr. Grosky is working for the enemy, and he and Sam are conspiring to steal plans from Mike, which makes Sam a double agent.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're at Brady House at night. We're in the boys' room. Bobby and Oliver sneak in. They look around to see if anyone is watching them. Meanwhile, Greg and Peter are lounging on Pete's bed looking at a book. Peter's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" Bobby says they need the older boy's opinions on Sam. Peter says, "What about him?" Bobby says, "Sam might be a double agent." And Greg says, "You mean he's selling hamburger to both sides?" And he and Pete start cracking up. Oliver says, "We're serious."
I love the way, actually, Oliver's like, "Come on, we're serious, you guys." And the way he says it, it's actually the best delivered line of the show, the way he says it.
And Pete says, "You're seriously sick in the head." And Greg says, "Get off the spy kick." So Oliver and Bobby lay out the facts, and Greg and Peter pretend to take them seriously. Greg tells them they have to gather enough evidence so a conviction will stick. How? Oliver wants to know. Greg says the talcum powder routine. He goes in the bathroom and comes out with a container of baby powder. He tells them talcum powder will leave traces on hair and clothing. Now, why they're even listening? His explanation makes absolutely no sense.
No.
Under certain conditions. What conditions? Bobby asks. "These," says Greg, and sprinkles powder all over the two younger boys. He and Peter laugh and run out, and Bobby says, "Dirty trick." And then Oliver says, "You can't trust anyone over 12. Now, they have that long shot of the Brady House daytime. The phone rings in Mike and Carol's bedroom. It's Sam. It's weird because Mike answers, "Good morning, Sam," which would be okay. But then they show Sam talking. And Sam says, it makes it sound like he hadn't said anything because he's like, "Oh, it's me. Hi, Mr. Brady. It's me, Sam," or something. I can't remember.
I know. It's weird.
Sam wonders if the plans are done. And Mike says he finished them last night. And Sam wants to pick them up. And Mike says he'll leave them on the drawing board in the den. And Carol is sitting there nearby listening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know Mike is supposed to keep this a secret from Alice, but he can't tell Carol.
Right. And that's the thing. First of all, the conversation you're about to relay, I'm like, first of all, what about the marriage / partner rule where you're allowed to tell your spouse or your partner anything that somebody tells you to keep a secret?
I know.
Second of all, Mike just loves having something over her.
Yes, he does.
He just loves this whole control thing.
Sam wants to pay Mike, but Mike says, just give me my meat wholesale. After he hangs up, Carol asks, what's going on? And Mike says, Sam asked him not to tell. And she doesn't want him to break his word, does she?
And the way he says that is so condescending. Like,
and she says, yes, I do. And he's like, no, I know. Now we're in Mike's den. There's an envelope with Sam's name on it. Alice is dusting, sees the envelope, and calls Carol in. Carol comes in. Carol says she's dying to see what's inside. Alice says she's somewhere between rigor and mortis. Carol says, should they take a peek? And Alice says, no, she has to respect Sam's privacy. But she deliberately knocks the envelope to the floor and nothing comes out. Then Carol picks it up and drops it. But the contents stay inside. Alice says, whatever is in there, she hopes it has a white picket fence. In the kitchen, the three girls come in from the living room and they're making a bunch of noise.
And all three of them are talking at the same time. And it's always so fake. I always hate it when they do that.
I know.
Because all three are just saying nonsense stuff all talking.
And Carol is unpacking groceries on the table. Marcia says they can't agree on something. And they want to know if Carol can help. And Carol's like, what? Marcia says they pulled their money, but can't decide on a wedding gift for Sam and Alice. Carol says, that's sweet, but they don't even know if there will be a wedding. Marcia wants to get them a small appliance, and Jan wants to get them a clock radio, and Cindy wants to get them an electric popcorn popper.
The most boring wedding presents ever.
But also, I mean, those are all kind of small appliances.
I know they are.
I still have a clock radio that's like 30-something years old.
Yeah, me too.
I don't use it anymore. They ask Carol which one, and Carol says none of them. She says, when it comes to weddings, hold your horses until you're sure about the groom. And I have no idea what she means.
Until you're sure the guy's going to show up. But also, did you notice, too, this is the last scene with the subplot.
It just drops.
Yeah.
Just then, Sam comes in the back. Just walks in. He says he's there to pick up plants. Carol says, oh, yeah, they know. And then she's like, anything special?
Mm.
And Sam says, very special. And the girls all look at each other excitedly. Sam goes to get the plants and Carol sighs and said he'd be nice to throw rice at. And it's like almost like she's checking him out.
Yeah, I know.
Sam goes into the den to get the plans, and for some reason there's a book on top of them, which was not there before.
Nope.
Bobby and Oliver are coming down the stairs as Sam picks up the envelope and the book falls to the floor. The two boys hear the noise and enter the room as Sam is picking up the book. He says, hi, boys, just picking something up. See you later. I'm in a hurry. Bobby says, look how cool he was. And Oliver says, that proves he's a double agent.
Hmm.
Bobby says, we've got to warn my dad. And he goes and grabs the phone on the drawing table. Oliver's impatient and says he wishes they had a push-button phone.
I know, it's funny because you forget how long it took for those.
I know. And also, I remember it was in the early 80s even, people didn't have them because we won tickets to a Rolling Stones concert because my friend Gina's grandmother had a push-button phone and got to Bobby is connected. And he asked for Mr. Brady, but he finds out Mike is out or he's away from his desk and they said to call back later. And then they show Mike's office building, which is that library building with the books on the outside.
Yeah.
Mike answers his phone. It's Sam. He and Mr. Groski are looking at the plans, but have questions. And Mike says he's just leaving work so he can stop by and explain in person. And Mr. Groski is very happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
When we're in the living room, Bobby is dialing the phone again. He gets Mike's office, but Mike has left. And Bobby finds out Mike is on his way to Sam's, which I think is kind of weird. Wouldn't Mike just say, I'm going home?
Yeah, I can't see him telling whoever's answering
the
phone.
I'm going to be at Sam the butcher's shop.
I know.
On my way home in case there's an emergency. Maybe Mr. Phillips needs to know where he is.
I think Mr. Phillips needs to know everything Mike does.
Bobby tells Oliver they've got to cut him off. Now we're at Sam's shop. Sam is cutting, I think they're pork ribs.
Yeah, they look good. I was hungry.
The boys run in looking for Mike, and Sam says he expects him any minute. And then he's chopping down the ribs with this giant cleaver. Sam says he never finished his army story. And he tells the boys that as he was escaping the enemy camp with the plans, he surprised an enemy general and chopped him. He tells the boys, if they're ever in a jam, to use the element of surprise. And the boys are all scared because Sam's chopping with that giant
They're afraid
cleaver.
He's going to chop their little heads off.
Just then Mr. Grosky comes in. He asks if Mike's there yet. Sam says, any minute. Mr. Grosky says, while they're waiting, he'll check out the freezer that's been on the fritz. The two men walk into the other room. I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, me too.
Bobby tells Oliver he bet Sam and Mr. Grosky were planning on locking Mike in the freezer.
Yeah. Before they go in, the way Sam and Mr. Grosky are acting, they're acting just like two guys who are spies would act.
Yeah.
You know, like I can see why the kids would be suspicious.
Bobby says, remember what Sam said. The element of surprise is our best weapon. The two boys go into in the other room and they shut and lock the freezer door. Mm. And Sam and Mr. Grosky are just looking it through the window.
I know.
And then Mike comes in and Bobby says, call the FBI. Sam is a double agent. And Oliver says, they were going to freeze you. And Mike is very confused.
Mm-hmm.
Mike sees the men in the freezer, and despite the two boys trying to stop him, he goes to rescue yeah. them.
Because it would have been ridiculous if he hadn't.
Yes. Then cut to a few minutes later, Sam and Mr. Grosky are laughing uproariously.
A little too hard. Like yes. I said, the way spies would if they were trying to pretend they weren't.
Yes. I think it's really funny about yeah. the boys thinking they're spies. Mike is not as amused. It's lecture time for Mike.
Yeah.
He hasn't had a chance
to lecture, so he savors this one.
Yeah. Mike is like, what the fuck? How could you think that I was a spy and all this stuff? And Sam says, well, that his army stories were exaggerated. And Mike is like, look what can happen when you jump to conclusions. Oliver says he won't jump anymore. Mike says, it's dangerous to lock someone in a freezer. And Bobby says, they were only doing it until Mike got there. Mike says, this is a quote, don't lock anyone in anything anymore.
Yeah. Mike's losing it a little.
Mr. Grosky and Sam say they aren't mad because they really are spies. That's why.
Yeah, that's
Mike apologizes again. Sam says, this is one spy who's glad he came in from the cold. And everybody laughs.
No, the boys don't. The boys are kind of looking like, what? Like they don't get it.
Because yeah. that's the name of the book.
A book.
And
yeah.
movie. And now here's the tag. Alice is vacuuming the disgusting living room carpet. The doorbell rings and it's Sam. Mm. He has an envelope for Mike. Alice says they've been together too long for secrets. After some back and forth, Sam tells her he's enlarging the shop. That's the secret, says Alice, disappointed. Sam says, you wanted to know. And Alice says, I don't want to know. And she goes back to vacuuming and ignores Sam as he's trying to talk to her. And that's the end.
Yeah. Poor Alice. She'll never get her man. One thing is, like, at the beginning, I'm like, oh, good. Oliver gets his first real plot. And then he realizes, as you're watching it, he's just like a foil for Bobby. It's almost yeah. like he doesn't have to be there. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, there's so many things, if they had really wanted to do something with that kid, like, he's sad because his parents are gone. He's yeah. not fitting into the family. Not the lame thing they had where he was trying too hard. But, you know, there are so many things they could do. And this plot, like, the whole thing with the girls just felt kind of phoned in. They've done it a million times before, the subplot, you know?
I know.
And then they poor just dropped Alice. It after Carol said, you know, forget about a wedding present. Nope, that was it. No more subplot, you know?
They've been burned too many times, I guess.
I know.
It's just like everything else. It's like people just keep things a secret just because. I mean, there's right. really no reason.
Like, no like reason Sam's initial secrets. Excuse was he wanted to surprise Alice and make her think he was some big meat magnate. So I guess maybe he didn't want her to see how the sausages were made, so to speak. Like, he didn't want her to see his indecision about it, or he just wanted to like him. But then it felt like if that was really his motive, they could have done more with that. Like, gee, Alice, no, I really, I know. Sorry, I was really thinking, like, I just thought you'd be so impressed, you know, or something to, instead of him just being, you know, it's like there's all these little germs of things where they can make a decent show. And I know this isn't Shakespeare or something, but
I know.
It could be better than it, you know, I feel like you can just feel
even the spy plot. The spy plot could have been even funny. I mean, it could have been, it was kind of, Oliver actually was the one that made it funny, but I mean, it could have been, there could have been more things that really led them to believe that he was a spy.
Right. You just felt like
that would have been funny.
Right. But. Yeah. You can really feel, and maybe it's just because we know it's coming to an end. It just feels like there's no energy. Like, the girls' subplot was totally, they've done it a million times. The Peter and Greg stuff was just very rote.
I know.
You know, and
it would have almost been funnier to me if Peter and Greg actually believed some of it too, or
right.
something.
Or just did something different than make fun of them.
I know.
Oh, we're going to make fun of them and then leave the room. We're going to make fun of them and then leave the room.
And throw talcum powder on their heads. Yeah. So yeah, that one wasn't one of my favorites.
But it's like I said last time too, if you're going to add this new kid who's supposed to add some life to the show and have the plots be him. Have him, they could have done this without Oliver.
I know.
He's just like easily. Bobby's little shadow. And just like the last episode, two Pete's in a pod, wherever Bobby was, there Oliver was. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just give the kid, but they're not gonna because there's three more episodes and then the show ends. So.
I know.
And there wasn't anything about this in any of the books, but we're moving towards the final episode, the hair dye one, which
the hair
there is so much about to talk about. So what's the next one?
The next one is the Snooper Star. And Cindy becomes convinced that she will be discovered as a child movie star, similar to Shirley Temple. Now, I don't remember this one. So,
and here's another synopsis. When Marcia discovers that Cindy has been snooping in her diary, she retaliates by convincing Cindy that Mike's new client is a high-profile talent agent looking for a new Shirley Temple. Is Cindy the one? Natalie Schaefer of TV's Gilligan Island guest stars. And so we have some real, it sounds like some really cruel trickery.
Sounds like an old style.
Yeah, old style Brady. Cruel trickery.
Snooping and tricking.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Howell is going to be
Mrs.
on.
Mrs. Howell,
so
Lovey.
So that'll be fun. There was, it reminds me of my office job. The assistant district attorney, one of the lawyers I worked with thought he talked just like Mr. Howell. So anytime he called, yes, he'd be like, Lovey.
That's funny.
I guess he had to be there. Yeah. So, yes.
Until next time.
Stay groovy.